Begin the current daf, Ksubas daf Kuf Gimel. Begin on the second line down by the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues explaining the opening Mishnah of this parak. The Mishnah said, in regards to a man that in the prenuptial agreement he agrees to feed and give sustenance for his previous wife's daughter, the stepdaughter that's coming into the marriage, for 5 years. So then if, let's say, she goes and gets divorced from him and then marries another man, and he also agrees to sustain the daughter for 5 years, so then the Mishnah said, they both shouldn't say, wait a second, she has to be fed for 5 years, we'll chip in, we'll both feed her together for the 5 years. Now the Mishnah says, no, they can't do that. One of them has to feed her for 5 years, and the other one gives her the money, the monetary value of 5 years' worth of sustenance. Now the Gemara brings the following story, which relates to this halacha of our Mishnah. There was a certain man, the Eiger le'richayu l'chavri l'tchina. He leased out his grinder to his friend for grinding services. And that is, he didn't rent it to him for a certain amount of money. Rather, he said that for your ability to use it, your payment should be a barter of that you'll grind my grain. Now, l'saif i'ater. What ended up happening was that at a later point in time, the renter, the one who was leasing it out, he became wealthy. So Zavin Richai Vachamer, so he went and he bought another grinder and a donkey to help grind the sustenance, the grain for his household. So the masker said to the Seicher, he said to the renter, Ad idno habetachina gabach. Up until now, I would do my grinding services with you. So that's how you would pay me for my leasing my grinder to you. Hashta havli yigra, but now pay me, because now I don't need your services anymore. I became wealthy, and I could grind the grain I need by my donkey with the new matchin I have. So you go and now you pay me. So Amalei, so said to him, no, mitchatchin alach, no, let's keep the contract we had up until now, which is I pay you by grinding your wheat. I don't want to have to go shell out money now to pay you for the rental of that grinder. Now, Sabar Ravina Lameimer Hayin Masnin. Ravina thought to say, this is the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Lo Yer Mishneihem, these two stepfathers cannot say, Hare Anu Zonin Oisakecha. Look, she has to be fed for 5 years. He agreed to that, I agreed to that. We'll make sure she's fed for 5 years. We'll chip in together. And no, they can't say that. One of them actually feeds her, and the other one gives the monetary value of the sustenance. And we don't say that both of them give her mezainis. Now, this in spite of the fact that they didn't agree to the original contract with the prenuptial to give them money, rather to give sustenance, food for 5 years. Still, in spite of that, a Mishnah obligates them to give money when there is mezainis coming from somewhere else. So here also, Ravina thought to say that although the agreement, original contract was that he's just going to grind for him as payment for the rental of the grinder, but now that he doesn't need it anymore, so then you have to go ahead and give money. So that's the same thing as the halacha of our Mishnah, because she doesn't need food anymore, so you give her money. So to over here, where he doesn't need it anymore, you have to give him money. So Amalei Ravavir said to Ravina, Mi dami, is it comparable? Hasam, in the halacha of our Mishnah, Chad krisa isla, she has one stomach. Tarte krista lesla, she doesn't have two stomachs. In other words, she can't eat double the amount of food that she needs. And therefore, yes, one gives her the food, the other one has to then give money. But hacha matzi amale, but here, the renter could tell the one who's renting it to him, t'chayin v'zavin, look, grind and sell the grain that you're grinding with your new grinder, with the donkey that grinds it for you, and sell that. T'chayin v'aysev, but your food, your grain, which you always had brought to me and I grinded it for you, and that's how I paid you for your grinder, let's continue that operation up until now. In other words, it's not going to a loss because you could sell it. And therefore, you should keep the original contract that I'm not going to pay you. But thereby, the girl, what do you want her to do? You're going to give her double the amount of food? She doesn't have two stomachs, and that's why it has to be with money. But it wouldn't prove regarding the halacha that they were discussing here with the renter. Maybe there, he could keep the original contract. Now, however, the Gemara does qualify this halacha that for Loya Marn, however, we didn't say, as Rav Avi was trying to prove, that the seicher, the renter, does not have to give money and he can keep his original contract, Ela deles leitchina lerichai, only if he doesn't have any other grinding services to be provided from the Rechaim, from the mill that he had rented from the one who rented it to him. In other words, he doesn't have work all the time. He's not such a busy guy. Therefore, he could tell the one who's renting it to him, he says, look, I'm not doing anything anyway. It's not worth it for me to go ahead and pay you money for the renting of it. But for the services, I'm not so busy. I'll grind your grain. Let's keep the original contract. However, the Gemara does say, if he has work that he could do, that he could grind for pay, and then people will give him money, then Kugainzu, in such a situation, then we force people regarding the characteristic of the people of Sodom. Now, what that means is what's called Zenene Bezelechaso. If one person could gain, the other one won't lose, so then definitely the people of Sodom wouldn't do the favor, even though they wouldn't be losing because they don't want the other person to gain. That would apply in such a situation where, yes, up until now you were paying him by doing the services, but you could just as easily do services of someone else because you're a busy guy. People want to use your services. And then you'll get money. And then you'll be able to give the money to the one who's renting to you. Then we force you to do it that way because you're not losing anyway. Why keep the original contract, which is not so good for the one who's renting it to you, because he already has a different mill to work out with his own grain. And therefore, what you're doing should be for pay, and then he would have to give him the money because that's kaifin al midas adam, because it's zenene bezloi chas, he wouldn't be losing because he anyway has other work to do that he could pay him with money. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah. Amana she'amra, a widow that says, if she loses me base bali, I simply can't leave my late husband's house. So the halacha is, in a yershin yichayim loimala l'chila beis avicha. So the inheritors cannot tell her, no, go to your father's house, we don't want you here anymore. You're not married to our father anymore, he's dead. And v'andu zayin aischa, and we'll feed you over there. No. Elezan aisa, rather they have to feed her, v'naisin l'madu l'vichva, they have to provide for her accommodations according to her honor, according to her dignity, in the late father's house. Amra, but let's say the other way around. Let's say she says, if she loves him beis ab, I can't leave my father's house. That's too sad for me to stay in my late father's house together with you. So the inheritors could tell her, look, if you're with us, then you get food, then you get sustenance, which is what a widow gets from a late husband's estate. But if you're not with us, you want to stay in your father's house, you don't get sustenance. Now, however, but if the woman, the widow, would claim, she's young and very young, and it's inappropriate for the two of them to be in the same house. So then, then they have to feed her, even if she's in our father's household, because it's not appropriate for a young woman with a young man to be together in the same house. Obviously talking about not her own sons, talking about just the sons of her late husband. Nothing more elaborates on this halacha that they have to provide for her in the late father's house. So Tarabar Linda Braisa. Mishtameshes b'madur, she can utilize the accommodations that are being left for her, just like she used the home when her husband was alive. Moreover, she can utilize the slaves and the maidservants, just like she did when her husband was alive. She could use the pillows and the blankets, just like she used when her husband was alive. And she could use the silver and the gold utensils, just like she used when her husband was alive. In other words, it's not her home. It's her late husband's it's his children that inherited. But because of the ksuba, she gets to stay. Because this is what was written to her. You will stay in my house, and you will have been provided from my estate. All the days of your widowhood in my house, she gets to use it the way she used it as it was when her late husband was still alive. Now, however, telling Rabbi Yosef, he learns a qualification in this word, this verbiage of the quote of the ksuba we just quoted, that beveisi, the husband says that you could stay and do everything in my house, but v'loy bebiksi, the inference is, but not in a narrow house, like that which is like a hut. As the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, the word biksa is be'aksa, which means a narrow house. In other words, if the accommodations were very tight, then he didn't accept responsibility for the sons to have to provide for her in his house, and then she can stay there. Now, Amar of Nachman, continuing on this halacha, he says, if the orphans sell the abode, the accommodations of the widow, meaning of her late husband's estate, they haven't done anything because they're meshubah, they're obligated, as the ksuba says, to provide her with the accommodations in her late husband's house. Now, that the Gemara asks, Why? Why is it any different than the halacha of Rabbi Aser ben Yechonah? That he says in a different context, he says, the Amr Rabbi Aser ben Yechonah says, Yisoyimim shekadmu. If orphans go before the case is brought to the courts, umachru b'nechasim u'atun, and they sell when the late father's estate was a very meager estate, where the halacha is, as the Mishnah teaches us later on the Kof Chesim Abayis, that actually the daughters merit the estate. They get fed. The sons don't inherit in such a situation. They actually have to go begging by doors for food. But if they didn't wait for the courts to decide that they don't get it and the daughters get it, and they sell, mashamachru machru, we see that what they sold is sold. It will be a valid sale. So the question is, why don't you say something over here? Although, truthfully, just like the daughter should get it, but if it's sold, it's a good sale. Here also, the orphans sell it, even though it should be going to the late, to the widow. But if it's a sale, it should be a valid sale, because ultimately the Yerusha is the sons. So although the courts want it to go to the daughters when there's very little, or the courts want that the widow, because it's the kan is bezin of the ksuba, that she should have to be able to live there, but since it's ultimately theirs, the sale should be a valid sale. So then the Gemara says, no, they're different, because Hasim, over there in the case of Nechasim Oatim, when it's a meager estate, Loi Mishtabdi La Mechaim, it wasn't Mishubid, it wasn't indebted to the daughters when the father was still alive. It's something that happens after that the courts say, okay, there's a meager estate we want the daughters to get. So therefore, before they come to the courts, if it's sold, it's a valid sale. But Hacha Mishtabdi La Mechaim, but here, the house is already Mishubid to the Amana when he's still alive, because that's what he writes in the Ksuba. And therefore, even this before they come to court, no matter it is, when they sell it, it's not a valid sale. Now continuing, Amar Abayi says, Nekatinon, we have a tradition that Mother Amana Shenafal, regarding the abode of the widow, if it collapsed, Ina Yeshen Chayevan of Nais, but they don't have to rebuild it, although they have to provide the abode, the accommodations for her, but if that collapses, they don't have to rebuild it. Tana Melech is similar in the Braisa. Mother Amana Shanafal, Ina Yeshna Chayim Lam Naisa, they don't have to rebuild it. Now, Veloyoy, not only that. Ela Fila Hiyo Meres Hanichuni, Vavnenu Mishali. Even if she says, okay, fine, leave me be, let me rebuild it from my own money. Ain't Shemala, don't listen to her. They're not obligated anymore to provide her for accommodations because the house already collapsed. And they don't even have to let her rebuild it. Now, Boya Baya Baya, however, had the following question. Shifts, if let's say she provides reinforcements to make the house stronger, my, what's the halacha? Do we say that therefore now they can't remove her anymore as long as the house is going to last? Or do we say that no, you'd had no right to provide it and make it stronger? It's only as long as the house would have been, and now you don't get to provide, just like if it collapsed. If you rebuild it, we don't have to provide you. So to over here, by making it stronger that it shouldn't collapse, do we say that now, however, it never collapsed and therefore they have to? Or who asked you to go ahead and make it stronger and therefore we don't have to? I think Gemara says, take a let it stand. It's not clear what would be the halacha in that situation. Now the Gemara continues from the Mishnah. Amru e efshi. Let's say she says that I can't leave my father's house. So then they tell her, look, the ksuba says, you stay in my house, my orphans, my inheritors will have to provide for you. You're not in the house anymore, you by your father's house. We don't have to provide you with sustenance. Now, now the Gemara asks, why? Why don't they provide her there, just like they would provide over here? So then the Gemara says, that supports Rav Huna. The Ham Rav Huna said that there's a big difference if she's in their house or in the father's house. Birchas habayis beruba. The blessing of the house is when there's many people, because then you have many people helping each other out. Then things are more efficient. Moreover, the mazel of many people, of a rabbin, is better than less. Therefore, they say that, no, if you're here, as the ksuba says, then we have to provide for you. But if not, and we lose that bracha, then you're by your father's house, we don't have to provide sustenance. But on that, the Gemara still asks, the laceful law, lafi, but then they should still at least provide her according to what was diminished, the bircha sabayis, the blessing of the house, by her leaving. In other words, it should be proportionate. That is, whatever was lost, because when there's things in bulk, so then you save a little bit. So that savings, they're losing. But why does she lose that olah mezainis? So the Gemara says, enchanami, hochinami. Exactly, that's what it means. When they say we're not going to provide for you, meaning we're not going to provide for you exactly as we would if you were in the house, but you will get, but however much is lost by having to provide you individually out of the home. Now, continuing on, One of this halacha, the Gemara brings another statement from Amar Rav Huna. He says, Lashon Chachamim, from the terminology of the sages, you could learn bracha. You could learn about blessing. Lashon Chachamim, or you could learn from their words how to become wealthy. And Lashon Chachamim, you could learn from the words of the sages how to create healing. As the Gemara explains, bracha, blessing, is this last halacha that Rav Huna said, Hadamar, that we said that the bracha, blessing, is when there's beruba, when there's many people. That's why when she leaves, she gets less, because she took away the blessing of the Berachas Habayis. Oisha Ditna, where do we find wealth to learn that from the words of the sages? As we learn in the Mishnah Maseches Baba Basra. The Mishnah says, Amlichem Peres Lachaver, if someone sells produce to his friend, so it depends. Mashach Balei Madot, if he already did Meshicha, which is one of the kinyanim of drawing something near to you, the object that you're trying to purchase, but you didn't yet measure it to know exactly how much you're paying, still come that you have already acquired that object because you did a kinyan of Meshicha. Madad Vulei Mashach, if you measured it and you know how much that you owe and you want to pay and that the sale is going to be final, but Vulei Mashach, you didn't do Meshicha yet, so Lekan, you didn't acquire yet. Now, that the Mishnah says, V'im Hoy Bekech, if the purchaser is intelligent and he wants to buy a lot of produce. Now, the problem is, it's going to take a long time to do Meshicha, to draw all of that large amount to his position. And the problem is, if he's not going to go ahead and acquire it right away, then the meicher could still renege because he hasn't been kainet yet. So seicher es mekaimai. What he should do is he should rent the place of where the produce is. So then it's like it's his courtyard, and the person's courtyard acquires it for himself. Now from here you learn about business dealings, because now the seller cannot retract. And therefore, you learn that from the words of the sages, how to be a good, smart businessman to become a wealthy person. Because you realize that you can't do all those mashichas, you just rent the place, and it's all yours already. Marpe Ditna, where do you learn about healing? From a Mishnah Masechet Pesachim. Lo yilas odem chitin, the Mishnah there says, a person should not chew wheat on Pesach, v'yaniach agab makas b'Pesach, and put it on his wound on Pesach, m'nei shemachmitzis, because the saliva will cause the kernel to ferment, thus causing it to become chametz stick. Now, but from there you learn inferentially that wheat that's chewed is good for a wound, and therefore you learn that healing. So when one analyzes the words of the Torah, of the sages, one can learn about blessing, one can learn how to become wealthy, and one can learn how to be healed. Continuing on the theme of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings Tarbon and Winla Braisa. At the time when Rebbe passed away, he said the following things, and this continues on to Amud Beis. He says, "Levane ani tzarich." He says, "I need my sons." So nichnasu banavetzlo. So his sons came to him. Amalem, he said to them, "Look, hizaru bechvayd imchem. I want you to be careful with the honor of your mother. Moreover, neri yehi dalek b'mkaymai. A candle should be lit by his place, meaning reference to Rebbe's place himself by the table, just like it was lit when he was alive." The reason being, as the Gemara will shortly explain, every Friday night he would come to his house even after he had passed away and he came back to this world. Shulchan yehi arch b'mkayma, the table should be set in his place, meaning even though he's not there anymore. And mita teimutzas b'mkayma, his couch that he reclined on should be in its place. Moreover, Yosef Chafni, Yosef who was from Haifa, and also Shimon Efrati, heim shimshuni b'chayai, they served me when I was alive. They should also serve me when I'm dead. Now the Gemara explains this part of the Braisa. He said, he warned his children when he's passing on to be careful to honor their mother. So the Gemara says, it's a biblical commandment. Like it says the Pasuk in Shemais, you shall honor your father and your mother. What does he have to tell them to be careful? One of the Targ mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, Ishas Avhav. It wasn't their mother, it was his wife. It was their father's wife. So the Gemara says, Ishas Avnami Deraisi. To be careful with the honor of their mother, meaning their stepmother, their father's wife, is also biblical. The Tanakh Luna Bryce, it says in the Pasuk Kabbalah, Avicha v'Semecha, you should honor your father and your mother. Now, Es Avicha, whenever it says Es, it's inclusive for something else. What does it mean, Es Avicha? Zu Eshes Avicha, it's a reference to your father's wife that you have to honor. What's V'Es Imecha, and your mother? Zu Bali Mecha, that's a reference to your mother's husband, to your stepfather. Now, Vav Yisera, the extra Vav, when it says V'esimecha, and your mother, that's L'rabbis Zechicha Gud, that comes to include the older brother, where you have to honor the older brother in this mitzvah of Kibbutz. Now, so therefore the question is, even for Eishes Av, it's biblical. So what is he telling them? So that the Gemara answers, Hani Mili, when did we say that a person has to honor his father's wife, his stepmother? That's Michayim. That's when his father's still alive. But when the father is not alive anymore, the whole halacha of the stepmother is a tuffle, a subsidiary to the mitzvah of Kibud Av. When he's not alive anymore, then there's no more chiv, and that's why that's what he was coming to warn them. It says that even after I passed away, you should be careful in the honor of my wife. Now, moreover, he said, Ner Yehi Dolk B'mkaymei, the candle should be lit in this place. Shulchan Yehi Arch B'mkaymei, the table should be set in this place. Mita Teimutzas B'mkaymei, the couch that he reclines on should be in its place. So the Gemara asks, Maitam, why do you want that after he passes away, that everything in this place should be the same? So the Gemara answers, because Kol Bei Shimshi, every Friday night, Hava Asila Beisei, he would come to his house. Now Rashi just clarifies that, why does it say Bei Shimshi, twilight? And how do we know that's a reference to Friday night? Because Rashi says, the term Bein HaShmashos is so common by people regarding Friday night, because everyone is so afraid to finish work before Bein HaShmashos. Oh, it's almost Bein HaShmashos, twilight. And that's the time that everyone talks about. That's why it's always called in the Talmudic literature, Bei Shimshi is a reference to Friday night. So every Friday night he would come to his house. And that's why, since he was there, he wanted everything to be set, ready for him. Now, however, the Gemara brings the Ahu Bei Shimshim. One certain Friday night, Asay Shivavta, a neighbor came to Rebbe's household. Kukariya Baba, so she was calling by the doorway. So Amra Amse, so Rebbe's maidservant said to her, Shti, could be quiet. The Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe's sitting. Now, Kivin Hashem, once Rebbe heard this, that people are finding out that even though he passed away, he's still here. Shuvlo Yosef, he didn't come anymore. Shaloi Lehetzi Laz Al Tzadikim Hashem, he didn't want to create rumors regarding the previous righteous people to say, oh, they weren't so righteous because they didn't have permission to come to their house like Rebbe. So not to cause disparagement about the other righteous people, he stopped coming. Now, the Braisa also said that Yosef Chafni, Shimon Ephrasi, he said that these two people, Heim Shemshuni B'chayai, they served me when I was alive. Heim Shemshuni B'maisi, they should also serve me when I'm dead. Now, Savamina, the people thought when Rebbe said this, B'hadin Almuhud to come, in this world, meaning that when he dies, just like they served him when he was alive, they should serve him when he's dead, meaning in his burial. Now, even the Chaz, the Kodim Arsai La'arsev, however, when they saw that their burial was before Rebbe's burial, meaning they were buried first, Amri, they said, Shema Minoa, we can infer from Rebbe's words, Lahu Almuhud to come, meant just like they served him when he was alive in this world, they should serve him when he's dead in the next world. And therefore, they're there first to go ahead and receive him when he passes on. Now, this that Rebbe had to go ahead and notify. If it's not about burying him, so what's the purpose of notifying that they should die first and then serve him in the next world? Is the loy lamer that people shouldn't say regarding them when they die. Mils, that must have been there was something wrong that Havilahu that was regarding Yosef Chafni and Shimon Ephrati. And that is why they didn't have the merit of burying Rebbe. And it's revealed that the whole reason why they didn't die all the years of Rebbe, because of Adna Idna, up until now, Namis Chusid Rebbe Huda Hanilu, it was only Rebbe's merit that protected them. And that's why they didn't die. And now we see when Rebbe's about to die, that's why they die. That's why Rebbe went to preempt that and say that, no, I want them to go ahead and be before me to be able to serve me in the next world like they served me in this world. Now the Braisa continues. The Gemara continues quoting the Braisa. Amalehem. So then Rebbe said, L'chachmi Yisrael Neinzach, I need the Chachamim of the Jewish people. So Nichnasu Etz L'chachmi Yisrael, so the wise men of the Jewish people came to Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. Amalehem, he said to them, Al Tespeduni Ba'yaris, don't eulogize me in the cities. Now, as Rashi explains, Ayaris, that term, is bigger than Kfarim, which are villages, but the Krachin, the large cities, are bigger than the Ayaris. They said in these middle-sized cities, don't eulogize me. Now, moreover, as we continue on Tamid Beis, he said, "V'hayshiva yeshiva, you should reestablish the yeshivas that people should be learning Torah la'achar shloishim yom. After 30 days, after I pass away, right away they should go back to learn, and they shouldn't continue eulogizing me after 30 days." Now, moreover, he said to them, "Shimon ben Chacham, my son Shimon is a wise man," and the Gemara later will explain. Will ask what exactly was he coming to teach with that. Moreover, he told them, "Gamliel ben Nasi, my son Gamliel, he should be the prince after me." And Chanina Bar Chama Yeshibareish, Chanina Bar Chama should be the Rosh HaYeshiva, the head of the Yeshiva. Now the Gemara explains this part of the Braisa. When he said, Al Tispeduni Ba'yaris, don't eulogize me in the cities, So Sav Mina, they thought what Rabbi Danos was trying to say was Mishum Tircha, because he didn't want the people in the villages, which were near to the cities, of the exertion who to come. And that's what he was saying, that then they're going to come to be masped him. Now, however, Kivn the Chazid the Safti Bekrachim Vakasu Kulam, but when they saw that they were eulogizing him in the large cities, and everybody came, even from the cities and the villages. So Amr Shemamino, they said, oh, now we understand what Rebbe was saying. Shem Yikuhu Dekama, it was for the honor that everyone is coming from all over to the big cities to be part of the Hespedim. That's why I said, don't do it in the ear, because then if it's only in the Krachim, everybody from all over is going to come to this one big place. Now this that he said, Yeshiva Yeshiva Achash Leshem Yom, that the Yeshiva should be reestablished after 30 days and not eulogizing only, was because the loy adifne mi Moshe Rabbeinu, his svar was that he's trying to say, I'm not better than Moshe Rabbeinu. The Chassidic says, the pasuk in Devarim, v'yivka b'nei Yisrael es Moshe ba'arves moy v'shleishem yoyim. And although Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader of whole Jewish people, and so to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, but not greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, that it says that they cried over him for 30 days in arves moy, but that's what it says, only 30 days. Now, t'lasin yoyim in saftin b'yimama b'lelyim, 30 days of eulogizing by day and by night. Now, mekame elach, from here on, Saftu b'yimama v'garstu b'lelya, so they eulogize by day and learn by night. Oy, saftu b'lelya v'garstu b'mama, or they eulogize by night and they learn by the daytime. Ah, the safti treisei achashat, until they eulogize for 12 months, and then that was the end of the period of the year. Now, related to the passing of Rebbe, the Gemara brings the following incident. Hahu yaymeda shachfrit Rebbe. That day when Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi passed away, nafka bas kalava amra, a heavenly voice came out, and it said, "Kol dahava ba'ashach the Rebbe, whoever was there at the passing on of Rebbe, mezumen hu l'chayim abo, is prepared for the world to come." Now, hahu chayvis, there was a certain launderer. Kol yom havo asa kami, every day he would come in front of Rebbe. Hahu yom alo asa, that day he didn't come. Kivin d'shamahachi, once he heard about this, salakal igra v'nafal aramis, so he went up to the roof and he fell down to the ground and he died. Now Yatza Baskov Amr, so a heavenly voice came out and said, Afahu Kavis Mazumanhu Lakhail Maba. Also, that laundry is prepared for a life of the world to come. Now the Gemara continues to clarify what he said. He said, Shimon ben Chacham, my son Shimon is a wise man. So the Gemara says, my Kama, what was he telling the Chacham Yisrael for that? Hachikama, what he was saying was that Afa Pish Shimon ben Chacham was connected to the next thing he said. Although my son Shimon is a Chacham, but Gamliel ben Nasi, but my son Gamliel is the prince, meaning he's going to be the leader of the Jewish people. Now that the Gemara asks, Amma Levi, Levi said, Tzricha Lameimer, was it necessary to say that Gamliel, who was the firstborn, is going to be the Nasi? Now, on that, Amma Reb Shimon Berebi, who he's the Reb Shimon, the son of Rebbe that we're discussing, he says, yes, Tzricha Lach, Ulamatala Asach. It was necessary for you and for your lameness, meaning because Levi was lame, as the Gemara explains a few different places, that Levi had done Kida, which is a certain type of bowing down from the waist down, and he became lame. And he was saying, yes, it was necessary. So the Gemara asked, my kashle, what was difficult to Reb Shimon Berebi, that he's saying that, yes, it was necessary for my father to say that Reb Gamliel is going to be the Nasi and not me, even though Reb Gamliel is the Bukhari, but how krokama? Seemingly, Levi's correct. There's a pasuk in Divrei Yom HaBeis that says, Ve'esham amlocha nosan liyahirom, that the kingship Yehoshaphat gave to Yehoram, ki hu ha-bachar, because he's the firstborn. So of course Gamliel gets it. What was the necessity that Rabbi Shimon is saying that it was important for his father to say that Gamliel is the Nasi and not him? So that Gemara explains how hu memali mokam ha-voisav ha. That's because Yehoram was the most respected of his brothers to take the role of his father. And that's why, since he was the Bukhar, he went to become the king after that. But here, there was someone smarter than Gamliel. Gamliel ain't a malo makom avayisav haver. Gamliel does not take over that place because his younger brother Shimon was more of a chacham. So the Gemara asks, if that's the case, so Rebbe might time avarachi. So why did Rebbe do that? Why did he make Gamliel the nasi and not Shimon? So that the Gemara says, nehi de ainem malo makom avayisav chacham. Although he didn't fill the place of his father in wisdom, and that Reb Shimon did, but beyir eschet memalo makom avayisav haver. However, in the fear of sin, that he was taking the place of his father, therefore the Rebbe went and made his oldest son, the Bukhari Gamliel, into the Nasi and not Rebbe Shimon. Now, moreover, Rebbe said, Chanina Bar Chama Yesha Beresh. That who's going to be the next Rosh Hashiva? It's Chanina Bar Chama. Now, however, the Gemara tells us that like Kibble Reb Chanina, Reb Chanina did not accept the post of Rosh Hashiva. The reason being is Shahai Reb Efes Gadam and Shtei Shon Mechza, because Reb Efes, who was still around, was 2.5 years older than him. So Yosef Reb Efes Beresh. So rather, Reb Efes became the Rosh Hashiva. But the Yosef Reb Chanina Avroi, Reb Chanina sat out of the Beis HaMedrash because he was also a great man, and he wasn't subservient to Reb Efes, so although he allowed him to become the Rosh Hashiva, but he didn't come into the Beis HaMedrash, he learned outside. So Levi, Yosef Gabe, and now Levi came and sat outside with Reb Chanina and learned with him outside. Now, Nach Nafshid Reb Efes, when Reb Efes passed away, the Yosef Reb Chanina Beresha, then Reb Chanina went to become the Rosh Hashiva. Now Levi had no one to sit outside with anymore, because now Reb Chanina went inside now to become the Rosh Hashiva. So he came to Bavel. Behind the Amri Leila Rav, and that's what they said to Rav. Gavar Rabbi Ikla Lenardo Mitla. There's a great Talmud Chacham that came to Narda, and he's limping. V'darash and he expounded a halacha regarding the halachas of Shabbos. Kalila Shari, a tiara is permitted to go out with it into Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. Now the reason for that is although jewelry is not allowed generally, because the woman's going to take it off to show people, I'm going to come to carry a dalar amas and shas rabim. But the reason is because what type of a woman wears a tiara, a kalila? It's a respectable, honorable woman. Now, a respectable, honorable woman is not taking off her jewelry to show other people, as the Gemara explains in Masechta Shabbos up to the Testament base. So that's what the halacha that Levi came to say, that's permitted. Now, Amar. So Rav said when he heard this, says, Shema mino nach nafshid Reb Efes, must be Reb Efes passed away. And the Yasir Reb Chanina Bereisha, so therefore Reb Chanina became the Rosh Hashiva. V'lo havalei l'Levi inish l'meisav gabei. Now Levi didn't have anyone more to sit outside the Beis HaMedrash. He didn't want to be by himself. So because of therefore he left and he came down to Bavel. Now now the Gemara asks, how did Rav know that? The Eimer Reb Chanina noch nafshi. Maybe Reb Chanina passed away. Reb Efes could the Yasir Yasir, and Reb Efes was still the Rosh Hashiva. But v'lo havalei l'Levi inish l'meisav gabei v'kaasa. But since his chavrus Reb Chanina passed away, and he was outside, now there's no one else to be outside with, that's why he came. How did Rav know that Reb Efes passed away, Reb Chanina went in, and now he was alone? So the Gemara says, if you want, you could say, Levi l'Reb Efes makef hava kayifle. Levi himself would have been subservient to Reb Efes, and it's only for Reb Chanina, who is his chavrusa, that he wouldn't be subservient. So therefore, if Reb Chanina passed away, he actually would have gone into the Beis HaMedrash and not come down to Bavel. Or if you want, you could say the way Rav knew this was, Kivin to Amar Rebbe, since Rebbe said, as we quoted before, Chanina bar Chama Yesha Beroish, that he's going to be the Rosh Hashiva, it's not possible that Reb Chanina wouldn't be at some point the Rosh Hashiva. So it's not possible that Reb Chanina passed away and Reb Efes was still the Rosh Hashiva. Because the Chzivbu bat Tzadikim, it says regarding the righteous, the Pasuk and Eve, Vesigzar Oimer, that you decree and say, V'yokum loch, and it will stand for you, meaning when the Tzadik is Geyser, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim, and therefore since Rebbe said that he's going to be the Rosh Hashiva, it must be at some point he's going to be the Rosh Hashiva. Now, however, the Gemara asks, V'ahava Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya was still alive. Why did Rebbe appoint Reb Chanina to be the Rosh Hashiva and not Reb Chiya, the great Reb Chiya? So now the Gemara says, Nach Nafshei, no. Actually, Reb Chiya had already passed away at that point. Now that the Gemara asks, but V'am Reb Chiya said, Ani Re'isi Kivresh Rebbe, I saw the grave of Rebbe, and I had shed many tears on that. Now the Gemara says, no, Epach turned that around. Actually, it was Rebbe who saw the grave of Reb Chiya, and he shed tears. But the Gemara continues to ask. But V'am Reb Chiya said, Oysa Yom Shemais Rebbe, the day that Rebbe passed away, but la kedusha, then there was no more sanctity, holiness in the world. So you see that Rebbe passed away first. Now the Gemara says, no, Epach turned that around too. And Rebbe said, when Reb Chiya passed away, there was no more kedusha. But the Gemara still asks. But Batanulin, the Brisa, Keshachal Rebbe, when Rebbe became ill, so Nichnas Reb Chiya Atzlais, Reb Chiya came into him, Umatza Yishu Baich, and he found Rebbe crying. So Amalei said to him, Rebbe, Mne Mata Baich, why is it that you're crying? But Batanulin, the Brisa, that one should not do this. The Brisa says, Meis Mitecha Schlik, if someone dies from laughter, Simon Yafalai, it's a good sign for him. Mitecha Bechi, if he dies from crying, Simon Ralai, that's a bad omen for him. Pandav Lamala, if he passed away with his face facing upward, simen yafalai, it's a good sign for him. Panav lamata, his face downward, simen rali, that's a bad sign. Panav klapayam, if his face is facing the people, and he passes away, simen yafalai, it's a good sign. Klapayakosla, facing the wall, simen rali, that's a bad sign. Panav Yerukin, if the person has a yellowish complexion, Simin Rali, it's a bad sign. But Panav Tzehuvin and Badum, if he passed away with a gold, reddish face, Simin Yavali, it's a good sign. Meis Be'erev Shabbos, if he passes away on Erev Shabbos, Simin Yavali, it's a good sign, because that means that he's passing away and he's going straight into Menucha, into rest, into peacefulness. However, B'matzah Shabbos, if he passes away right after Shabbos, Simin Rali, it's a bad sign. Meis Be'erev Yom Kippurim, if he dies before Yom Kippur, Simin Rali, it's a bad sign. But Matzah Yom Kippurim, after Yom Kippur, Simin Yavali, it's a good sign, because right after his sins are forgiven, then he passes away, it's a good sign for him. Meis Mechil Ma'am, if he passes away from intestinal ailment, Simin Yavali, that's a good sign for him. Memnesha, Rubin Shel Tzadikim, because the majority of the righteous people, Misasin Mechil Ma'am, their deaths are from intestinal illnesses. But so therefore he asked him, why are you crying? That's not a good omen for a person. A person should pass away Miteches Chayk. So Amalei, so Rebbe responded to Reb Chiya, Ana atayra umitzis kabechina. Don't worry, I'm not crying, which would be the Simin Ra crying. I'm crying regarding Torah mitzvahs that I'm not going to be able to fulfill anymore. And therefore, that's not a Simin Ra. But one thing we see from this price is that Rebbe passed away first, so if Reb Chiya was still alive, why didn't Rebbe make him the Rosh Hashiva? So the Gemara says, as I said before, Iba Yisema Ebech. If you want, you could say, like we said regarding the other prices, that you turned it around. It was Rebbe who was visiting Reb Chiya who passed away first. Or the Gemara says, actually, if you want, you could say, really, all the other sources that we brought down, don't reverse them. You're right, Rebbe passed away first, and Reb Chiya was still alive. So why didn't he make the great Reb Chiya into the Rosh Hashiva? So that the Gemara says, Reb Chiya asik b'mitzvah sabah. Reb Chiya was very busy fulfilling commandments, mitzvahs. Rebbe sabah, loy afgrei. Rebbe thought, I don't want to stop him from doing the mitzvahs. He's going to be Rosh Hashiva, he's going to be busy with the yeshiva. I want to be able to continue the mitzvahs that he's doing. As the Gemara illustrates the mitzvahs that Reb Chiya did and that he was so busy with it. That's what can be illustrated. That one time, actually Reb Chanina, which was told to be the Rosh Hashiva, and Reb Chiya, who was the other option we said, they were once arguing. So Amalei Reb Chanina, Reb Chiya. So Reb Chanina said to Reb Chiya, Bahadi didi mitzvahs? He says, you're fighting with me? Dimchas v'shalom nishtach atar miyisol. If God forsake that the Torah would be forgotten from the Jewish people, Madron, let me be pulley. I can go ahead and return the whole Torah from my great discussions in the Torah learning and my pilpul. I could go ahead and bring it all back. So Amalei Reb Chiya, Reb Chiya said to Reb Chanina, Ano avdi de lemishtach to Yisrael. You're saying what you could do. I actually make sure that the Torah is not forgotten, which are the great mitzvahs that he's involved in. As the Gemara illustrates how he went to make sure the Torah should be remembered with its purity and sanctity. Daisina kisan of Yishadin, he says, I bring flaxseed and I plant it. So he says he starts from scratch. That is, it has to be to Altaras HaKadosh. So I take the flaxseed and I plant it. Umagadalno nishbe. Then from that flax, I go ahead and I weave nets. And then, b'tzayod netabia, then I go ahead and trap deer. Then, umachalno bisrul yasmek. From the deer, I feed from the flesh the meat to the orphans, and then I go ahead and take the hide and make parchment from that. Mimashchi detavia from the hide of the deer, and I bring those parchments to a city where there's no teacher of little children. Now, I write five different parchments, five different books of the five books of the Torah, Bereishis, Shmois. I go through all the different Vayikra B'midbar Devarim, and I write each sefer for a different child. Umasnina shita sidyu l'shita yinuk, and I teach one of the six sedarim of Throim, Moed, Noshem, Nezikin, Kachem, Tyrus. I teach a different seder to one of six different children. And l'cholchad v'chad amrilei, and each every child I tell him, look, asni sidrach l'charvach, what you learned, teach to the other five boys. And behind the Rebbe, that's what Rebbe said, how great are the actions of Chiya, where he goes and he makes sure everything from the beginning he does, Altaras HaKadosh, and the purity of the Jewish way, and he goes and teaches each one, and then they have to teach the other ones, and making sure that the Torah is never forgotten. Now, not only Reb Shimon Rebbe, so Reb Shimon, the son of Rebbe, said to his father, Rebbe, afilu mimcha, you're saying how great are the actions of Chiya, even greater than you? I'm like, and yes, Rebbe said, yes, even greater than me, who Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was the one that put all the Mishnayos together. Amalei Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yisi, so Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yisi, said to Rebbe, Afilu ma'aba, even more than my father, Rabbi Yisi? That Omalei Rebbe said, Chas v'shalom, God forsake, loy tehei kazeis b'yisol, there shouldn't be such a thing said in the Jewish people that I said that Rebbe Yosi, your father, should be, that Rebbe Chiya should be greater than your father, Rebbe Yosi. Now, the Gemara continues quoting that braisa that we had quoted previously on Amud Aleph. Amalehen Rebbe said to them, Levni katan ani tzarech, I need my youngest son. So Nechnas Rebbe Shimon, that's Rebbe Shimon came to him. Masalei Sidrei Chachmi gave him over the order of wisdom. Now Amalem then he said to them, Livni Gadla ani tzarech, I need my older son. So Nechnas Rebbe Gamliel, that's Rebbe Shimon came to him. Masalei Sidrei Nisis, he gave him the order of being the Nasi, which is the leader of the Jewish people. Amalei said to him, Bini, my son, Nohog Nisi Uscha Biram. You should lead your Nisius in the elevated status that you should sit amongst the great people. Moreover, Zarek Mara, you should impose fear b'talmidim in your students, that they should always fear you. Now, that the Gemara asks, is that really so? But Vogsiv, it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ve'es Yirei Hashem, and that those who fear Hashem, Yichabed, he should honor those who fear Hashem. Now, Va'amamar, the Master explains, Ze Yoshav, that's a reference to Yoshavet Melech Yehuda, who was the king of Judea. That is, Kishal Yeroi Talmud Chacham, when he would see a Talmudic scholar who was a Yirei Hashem, he would be Mechabed them. Ha'yalimin Mekisi, he would get up from his throne, U'mechabko, Yomenashke, he saw Talmud Chacham, wow, he would hug him, he would kiss him, V'karilay, and he called him, Rebbe, Rebbe, Mari, Mari, my teacher, my leader, my guide, my guide. So we see that a Nasi, although he's like a Melech, but why should he instill fear in his students in Talmud Chacham? He should hug them and love them. A Talmud Chacham is something that you should honor, not to instill fear in them. So I think Mercer is like Kash, it's not a contradiction. Ha Bitsina. In private, definitely like Yeshua did, he should honor every single one Talmud Chacham. Ha Bifahes, what Rebbe was telling was, in public, he should instill fear of them, that people should know that he's the Nasi and people should respect him. Now, Tanya learned the Bryce that Rebbe Mutal, Rebbe was laying in his illness, Bitzipari in Tzipari. Umakim, however, the place of his burial was Mukhan Lebe Beisharim, was prepared for him in Beisharim. Now, not the Gemara asks about Tanya, but we learned the Bryce. Says the Pasuk in Devar, Tzadik Tzadik Terdev, a person should pursue righteousness. What does that mean? So, an example of that is Holach Acher Rebbe Lebe Beisharim. You should go to a Bezdin that practices righteousness, an upright Bezdin, which is Rebbe in Beisharim. So, we see that Rebbe lived in Beisharim, not just that where he was buried. So why is it saying when he was laying ill, he was in Zipari? So I think my answer is, Rebbe Beisharim, right. Rebbe lived in Beisharim, and that's why he was later buried there. Now, like, even the Cholish, it's just that when he was ill, and to you, Litzipari, they brought him up to Zipari, as we continue on top of Kavdal Med Aleph, the Medallia, which is an elevated plateau, as the Gemara says in Sechtes Megillah, actually, that's why it's called Zipari, because it's on the top of the mountains, like a tzipra, like a bird which goes to the top, Ubasim Avir, and it has better ear, better climate. That's why, because of his illness, they took him there. But yes, that's why they ended up taking him back to Beis Sha'arim, because that's where Rebbe had lived.